You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Yeah. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Wednesday. Simon Owen joins us live from Fox News. All right, Simon, the end of the world, this Norway underground doomsday seed vault. I mean, even just saying those words out loud seems silly, but they're spending an awful lot of money on upgrading this thing.
Yeah, this is where you want to be if things really go south and you find yourself getting hungry. Its official name is a little less dramatic. It's called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. Svalbard is an archipelago of islands. It's a remote spot high above the Arctic Circle, and its remote location is one of the reasons it was selected to host this particular vault, because it doesn't have earthquakes or volcanoes, and it's far away from civil strife, and it's also really cold, which is good conditions to keep these samples stored in. The seed vault is the brainchild of a conservationist and an agricultural group. It was built by the Norwegian government. It's funded by Norway and various other governments and organizations, and the purpose is to give the world an agricultural backup, essentially, for food supplies in the event of a disaster, and this could be anything from nuclear war to climate change. It was set up 10 years ago. It has been popular. Norway says it's just past the 1 million mark in the count of samples that have been deposited. And so to mark its 10th birthday, Norway is now saying it's going to put a load more money into this, 100 million Norwegian crowns, which is about $12.7 million for various upgrades. The Norwegian agricultural minister put it like this. He said it's an important task to safeguard genetic material that is crucial to global food security.
All right, this is about 620 miles from the North Pole. If there is a man-made disaster, it's going to take us all a while to get to the food.
Well, it depends if planes are still running, because Svalbard is the furthest north you can fly on a scheduled flight. So it is possible to get there and fairly easily. They have an extraordinary spread of samples in there. As I say, they hit the million mark, which is a bit of a milestone. And they say that these crops, you know, they've got black-eyed peas, they've got the Bambara groundnut, they've got the Estonian onion potato, and it's all there just in case something goes wrong. Now, it might sound extreme, the idea of the world running out of food or whatever, and it might sound a far-fetched possibility. But there are more local options as well, and they had a bit of a success story recently where a seed vault, and there are seed vaults around the world, it's just this is supposed to be, I think, the sort of global one. There was a seed vault in Syria that got damaged in the fighting near the city of Aleppo, and so scientists in Morocco went up to Norway, withdrew some Syrian seed samples. They've now been replanted and then redeposited back in the Norwegian vault. So it is being used just occasionally.
All right, Simon. Great stuff as always. We appreciate it. Thank you, Simon Owen, live from London.
That's freaky.
They're just holding the seeds. They have right now about 890,000 samples, but they can hold 2.5 billion seeds from 4.5 million varieties of crops. That's the capacity level. Now, this story is one of those stories that makes you kind of think, like, I'm glad someone's thinking ahead. That's a pretty smart thing to do. If this were up to Springfield or Washington, D.C., it would never happen. So it takes the Norwegians to do this. But the downside of this is, who in the world is going to be able to get to this place in Norway to get to the seeds when the zombie apocalypse happens?
I was going to say, if there's a catastrophe, Simon says it's easy to get there.
Well, if the planes are still flying.
Yeah.
He made an important notation there.
Right.
So if the planes aren't flying and it is the zombie apocalypse and we're right out of The Walking Dead.
Norway set.
Norway is a long way off.
Little bit, yeah. It's not like you can just take a snowcat to get there.
No. So the Doomsday Vault, the Doomsday Seed Vault. As it has become known. I mean, that's not what they call it. But the funny thing is it's under threat by climate change, which is why they're spending the $12.7 million to upgrade it, or the however many crowns that Simon said just a few minutes ago. So they're worried about the Scandinavian countries worried about melting permafrost, which is causing unseasonably warm temperatures, and that then risks flooding the vault. So you build this vault, don't you think? Can you not build a vault that won't flood?
You would think.
It seems like if you give me just the upgrade cost, the $12.7 million in upgrades, I could build something that wouldn't flood. If the job is to hold on to 4.5 million varieties of crops and 2.5 billion seeds that the world might need in case of natural or man-made disaster, that you could build something that wouldn't leak.
Yeah.
This is where the government comes in.
For that kind of money, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're right. That's exactly where the government comes in.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So does this freak you out knowing that there are plans behind the scenes?
No.
You know, Bill Burr, the comedian, was doing this routine about how world leaders had these backdoor meetings about, you know, overpopulation and how do we get rid of 3 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His theory was that we slowly radiate them at airports, you know, by putting these machines in and have you stand and
cook them from the inside out.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, I mean, how many things like this doomsday seed vault are out there that we don't know about?
Right. Right.
Because I guarantee you one thing, if the end of the world comes, the people in charge have an escape hatch. They've got a...
Oh, yeah. They've
right?
got a silo underground or something.
One of these undisclosed locations. I mean, they know where they're going.
What was that terrible movie that was about the end of the world? What, 2012? Is that what it was?
2012.
Yeah, where they had built...
Is that a Rush album?
No, they built these, like, three arcs in China, like these big spaceships or floating ships.
2012.
Yeah. It was right around when that whole Mayan calendar thing was going on. Yeah, that was the same kind of concept.
Gotcha.
Terrible movie.
The Doomsday Seed Vault in Norway takes the cake for this week. We'll take a break. Back with more after this. Jeff Daly is standing by. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more right after this.
WSOY News Time is 6:29. Local automotive dealer Bob Brady, owner of Bob Brady Auto Mall, has expanded his business, purchasing Pogue, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Forsyth, according to Brady. Says they look forward to establishing a strong relationship with General Motors and are excited to have the opportunity to bring these great GM products to Decatur and Central Illinois car and truck buyers. Brady now offering products ranging from the Cadillac Escalade to the Canyon pickup truck. Steve Gensler, general manager at the Auto Mall, said the acquisition of Pogue adds a lot of strength to the Brady selection. Purchase of Pogue and the addition of Cadillac, Buick, and GMC is the latest expansion of the list of new cars and trucks offered by Brady. He started in Decatur in December of 1986 with a single new car line from Dodge. By 96, the dealership had added Honda, Hyundai, and Mitsubishi, then adding Chrysler, Jeep, and Fiat between 2007 and 2016. Mr. Brady will be a guest later this morning on Buyers & Company. News time is 6:30.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Classes resumed today at the high school in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were shot and killed 2 weeks ago. Ryan Petty lost his daughter Elena and says about gun safety legislation.
There'll be time for that. Right now we secure our schools. We figure out what went wrong and what we can do better. And then we'll have the other public policy debates later.
The Dick's Sporting Goods chain just announced it will no longer sell assault-style rifles or large-capacity magazines. White House Communications Director Hope Hicks spent 9 hours with the House Intelligence Committee investigating Russia election meddling. Fox's Joe Nato reports.
She wouldn't answer questions about her time in the White House, saying she was advised not to. One source says Hicks did say she had told white lies for the president once in a while.
Florida Republican Tom Rooney on that committee says the white lie remark was not related to the Russia investigation. Fox News. We report, you decide.
WSOY News Time, 6:31. Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan released a list yesterday of 9 complaints of sexual harassment, retaliation, or discrimination in his state office in the past 5 years and how they were resolved, hoping to get ahead of criticism that he's mismanaged the issue. "I'm not resigning," the longest-serving House Speaker in U.S. history told reporters after a 3-hour closed-door meeting with his Democratic caucus. "I'm moving forward," he said. The Chicago lawmaker, who is also chairman of the Illinois Democratic Party, said the review did not preclude an independent investigation into his response to complaints of sexual harassment by campaign aides. He agreed to the outside probe suggested by one of his House members, but nonetheless, several office holders, including Democratic candidates for governor, have called for him to step aside as Speaker or as party chairman. Madigan, age 75, says he has sent the list, which did not include several categories of possible complaints, to the other three legislative leaders and invited them to do the same type of review. Madigan spokesman Steve Brown declined to release the letter until the recipients see it. In sports, in high school hoops last night, it was Bloomington Central Catholic over St. T, 66-41, wrapping up their season. And Southeast ended Eisenhower's season with a 78-50 win. Meanwhile, in the NBA, it was the Hornets over the Bulls, 118-103. And the Big Ten tournament tips off today. We'll have Fighting Illini basketball for you as they take on Iowa in the opening round. Pregame at 3:30, tip-off at 4:30. More news comes your way at the top of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY.
Spearfishing has or will strike your business, wreaking havoc on your employees.